Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. The devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. The devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. The devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Praise God. Devils could come in lots of different ways. Amen. It could come as tiredness. It could come as sickness. It can come of all sorts of things, bills and issues at home, issues at work, issues in the world. But it's okay. God is greater, and the devil is under our feet, and sometimes we have to remember that. Sometimes we get overwhelmed and tired and worn and beat down, but it's okay. God is greater. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Let's sing this song one more time. Shake it off. Don't allow the devil to sit on your back. Shake him off. He has no business being on your back. He is supposed to be under your feet. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Amen. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Tell him where he goes. Shake, shake, shake the devil off. Shake, 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 shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Shake, 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 shake the devil off. Shake, 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 shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. The devil's under your feet. Shake the devil off. The devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. The devil's under my feet. Shake the devil off. Oh, in the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. One more time. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Praise God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the victory of having the devil under my feet. God bless you tonight.
Long ago, I didn't know about God. Heard about him, never felt him. Oh, this man that comes from above. In this life of sin, I cannot understand. Well, that's what I ask. How do I get to know this man? You told me you must be, don't you see? You got to. Born again, you blessed Holy Ghost and the fire that burned things. That gives the power to turn and the kind of religion that you cannot consider makes you boom and shout. You know when it's real, I've got my hands right in the winding chain. Looking for something to ease your troubled mind. Don't go to your friends, don't go to loved ones. Any help from them you will find. In this life of sin, I can no longer stand. Look up to Jesus. It's good to know this man. Oh, they told me you must be, don't you see, you got to be born again. You've got to have the blessed Holy Ghost and the fire that burning things that gives the power and the kind of that you cannot conceal, that makes you move and shout. You know when it's real, I've got my hands right in the winding chain of my soul. It's anchored in my Jesus name, because I'm free from sin and I'm filled with Him, because I've been born again. Oh, you've got to have the blessed Holy Ghost and the fire that burning things, that gives the power to the kind of religion that you cannot conceal, that makes you move and shout. You know when you feel, I've got my hands right in the winding chain of my soul. It's anchored.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Glad to be here. Appreciate the Lord. I'm thankful for church. I'm thankful to be able to come here and lift up holy hands unto a holy God. Amen. Little thought I was working or had in my heart a couple days ago. Brother Rick kind of touched on it a little bit. And just going to skip through it, really. And Peter and John went. We're going to the temple to pray, and there was a man sitting there who was unable to walk. And as Peter and John walked past, he looked at them as though to receive something. First of all, he was showing a little bit of faith just to think that he was going to get something. So when we go to God, we have to at least show him a little bit of faith that we're going to get something. And then when Peter and John put their hands down and said, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they grabbed him and lifted him up, and there was a completion of the faith that the man had started to profess. And the thing that kind of touched me was that he went leaping and jumping and praising God, but right after he got healed, he went into the temple. He didn't go back and tell his family, oh, look what God did for me. He went right to the place where the people of God were. And these people, the synagogue, they may not have all believed that this Jesus was who he, you know, was the Savior sent to save them, but this man who is lame is now jumping and leaping and praising God. And his first thought was, I wasn't ever able to walk, but now I can go to temple myself. I can walk to church. I can do what I want to do. I can go praise God for myself now. I don't have to rely on this one. I don't have to rely on that one. I can go there myself. And any time I want to go, I can go. You know, whether they're all there or not, I can still go. I'm thankful for that. And then the scripture that everybody was kind of like, isn't this the guy that sat at the gate? And they said, yes, it is. And then Peter told them that they had, you know, messed things up when they crucified the Lord of glory. And he said, and this name, Jesus, the one he was talking about, through faith in that name, the name of Jesus, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, Jesus, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And I thought about the perfect soundness that we have when we come to Jesus. When we receive the Holy Ghost or receive anything from God, he is able to make us perfectly sound in every manner. This man might have been his legs. Maybe for you it was your crazy thinking. Maybe for you it was alcohol, drugs, whatever it was, thieving, whatever. He can make you in perfect soundness. I don't know if you can understand perfect, because we aren't perfect, but what God does is perfect. So we can become, we can receive perfect soundness from him in the areas of our life that need to be made perfect. And I'm thankful for a word that lets me know that he's still concerned about us. Just because we go to church, and it doesn't mean that he's forgotten us, but all the more that he loves us. And I'm thankful to be able to stand up and just know that when I come to him, I can leave perfect. Great. Something in your life not going right, go to the master. Go to the one that's able to fix it. And when you leave, jump and leap, praise God, because you're going to be made whole. You're going to leave in perfect soundness. Perfect. In this world, I can't understand perfect, but when I look at God, I can. And he never fails. He never fails. And I'm thankful for a God that's faithful to his word and faithful to his people. And we have all the power of God available to us. Why not use it and become perfect and sound in him? Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight and you'll render your minds for just a few minutes, and would you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse. I want to start there tonight and share something upon my heart that the Lord has talked to my soul about. And I think you'll find it very beneficial. It's already being said in this place tonight. It's being mentioned. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, three words. Verse doesn't have to be long to be powerful. I believe it's chapter 11, verse 35 of John that testifies Jesus wept. This verse says, pray without ceasing. And tonight I say that to the people of God, those of Mount Zion, the sides of the north, citizens of the city of the great king. Pray without ceasing. Don't cease to pray. Don't cease to be a person of prayer. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing to pray. Another verse says, continue instant in prayer, praying always. Let's pray tonight unto the Lord before you're seated and ask the Lord to just touch you in a way that he knows you need to be touched, not a way that you want to be touched. Let's do that. Lord, I can't get this across if you don't help me. God, I know people have had a long week and they're tired and our minds can be tired and we can only absorb so much. But I'm praying that you put your hand upon our heart, our minds, our bodies. And just bring about, Lord, what's in the Word of God that can be seen if we can have ears to hear. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now I'd like for you to go to Matthew 14. And we are going to begin reading at verse 21. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Pray without ceasing. It was mentioned here in the service a couple of services ago about Pastor's song, Pray, Pray, Pray. What do you do when everything goes wrong? Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. Verse 21, Matthew 14 says, and they had eaten, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. And we're going to do our best tonight to begin sharing something here that's in the Word of the Lord to be seen. Don't ever think that your life can't be found in this book. There's more book than you've got life. There's more God than you'll ever have life to discover, to experience. You'll never exhaust the Word of God. I'll never exhaust the Word of God. I'll never be able to say, even if I foolishly say, I'd be wrong in saying it, that what I'm going through, there's no answer for. So he constrains his disciples. It's an interesting word, and as I'll repeat what I always say, pay attention to every word. Every gospel account is written specifically. There's a reason why one verse has a little and another epistle has a lot more. There's nothing written that's written without the handiwork of God. The Lord knows how to put his word together in such a way that there's more in every verse than what you see the first time you pass by it. It's kind of like when Jesus joined himself to the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, they did not recognize him. They did not see him. There are times the Lord does the same thing to us because there's so much to him that because of what sometimes we go through, we don't see that he's walking with us. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
There's a lot to him. There are layers to him. There's depth to him. And he constructed his word so that there's stuff that will only, I know we've said it before, but there's stuff that will only sort of release itself when you're in a moment of life, you're going through something or others are going through something. It may not be you, could be somebody else, but then all of a sudden there's the answer and it's out of the same scriptures you've read for years. And you've seen all sorts of stuff from them, but this time something comes from the Word of God that's fit for what you're going through right now. Hallelujah. So he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. There was urgency there. It wasn't just, hey, guys, get in a boat and beat it. I'll meet you on the other side. He constrained them. In other words, he got their attention and said, I want all of you now in a boat. And I want you to get. And when he had sent them away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. There are times when there are just those words that jump out, they highlight, they underline, they italicize, they get bold, however you want to put an emphasis on the word. And you have to look and say, why does it say that word? What does the word apart mean? And when you read that word, you realize that it's a specific word. It's not just any word that said, well, he went up into a mountain to pray for a while. It says that when he had sent the multitudes away, he himself went up into a mountain apart to pray. So his purpose for going was to separate himself, to seclude himself, to distinctly go pray. Sometimes you just have to separate yourself from all the stuff to pray. There has to be an apart to pray in your life. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, apart to pray. We already read the scripture, pray without ceasing. There's more about prayer than we realize. There's more about becoming a person of prayer than we sometimes realize. There's more emphasis on prayer than we realize. We know we need to pray. We read all the scriptures that encourage us to pray. But reading the instructions and following them are two different things. But when you pray, when you don't cease to pray, when you give yourself to prayer, you discover stuff about God and yourself and other people. So he went up into a mountain apart to pray. If life ever gets busy, then unbusy yourself so you can go pray. The multitudes just have to be sent away, and sometimes the disciples have to be sent away. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes the urgency is there to go pray. And the tube's got to get turned off. Everything's got to get turned off. And there's just this, as the song says, shut in with God in a secret place. There in the spirit, beholding his face. There's that call. There's always going to be. If you've ever prayed and consistently given yourself to prayer, you understand the value of it, even if you don't comprehend the depths of it and what happens when we do pray. But because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, the urgency and the passion and the desire and the need to pray is built inside of our spiritual DNA. And when we neglect it, we feel it. When we don't, we feel it. Praise the Lord. So he went apart to pray. He didn't go apart just to get a break from everybody. He went apart to pray. He separated himself to pray. The scripture says it like this in another form of the word apart, that God has set apart himself, him that is godly. In other words, he's distinguished, he's separated. He said, it's kind of like he's glorifying the fact that this is my kid. And he's separated unto himself. Don't be afraid to be separated unto God. Don't be afraid to become a person of prayer. Nobody can go to prayer for you. This is a type of loneliness or an alone thing, I should say. The word loneliness isn't the best word. But this is a type of being alone and being kind of a single person unto God. That's a good thing. Don't despise that. If others aren't doing it, don't let it cause you not to do it. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you just got to. Praise God. Apart to pray. Hallelujah. All right. I think that's been driven enough. And when the evening was come, so he's up in this mountain and he's praying. He's praying. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Where was he there alone? Where was he? He was in prayer. He was there. Where? Prayer. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Let me read that one more time because it's connected. The thought is connected. The idea is connected. A lesson here is connected with two things. He was there and they were here. He was in prayer and they were in trouble. Can I say something to all the wonderful people of God? If there are others in your life, and these guys were in his life, they were important to him. John wrote it like this and said, the disciples whom Jesus loved. So somebody he loved was in trouble. He was not in trouble, they were in trouble. If he's not in trouble and they're in trouble, why are you worried about the fact that they're in trouble when you're not? This is huge. Because sometimes we jump in the boat and get in trouble with them. We're not supposed to jump in the boat and be troubled with them. Hallelujah. Just let that sink in a minute. He was there, they were here. Jesus was not, John chapter 6 testifies a little more detail here, and John says it like this, that he saw them toiling in their rowing. And this is what I want to point out about the deepness and the importance of prayer. That when you're in prayer, when you're a person of prayer, your perception is different. Your outlook is different. How you handle things is different. How you react to things is different. Prayer will temper you. Prayer will control you. Prayer will personify something from you that's different than what you're going to see in the boat of those who are in trouble. Yeah. Hallelujah. You may not get all caught up and all worked up and all frantic like they are. Let me say it to you like this in a couple of examples. Mark chapter 5, what do we read? We read about a young girl who's dead. Her father, Jairus, has called Jesus, and this Jesus who is who he is has time along the way. There's urgency now. He comes to Jesus saying, my daughter's at the point of death. Will you come? And along the way, he doesn't have any problem allowing somebody to be healed and stopping to ask her when there's urgency. Jairus is still there. His daughter is still at the point of death. And it's like, let's go. But yet he has the time to stop and say, who touched my clothes? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, prayer will cause you to be and think and do and say things that does not respond to the emotional issue at hand. Jesus was not on that shore. Now, they're 3.5 miles out. They're in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. It's nighttime, and yet the scripture says he saw them toiling. God always sees what you're going through. And if you're a person of prayer, you may not be the one going through the thing that's happening in the life of somebody else, but you might see it. But I don't see Jesus on the shore biting his fingernails, calling up all the church people, help me pray, blowing snot in his rags, saying, what am I going to do? Somebody charter a bus or a plane, and I'll help. Somehow we got to get him out of there. He's not on the shore. One, oh, my God, the wind's going to blow their boat over, and they're all going to drown, and there go my apostles. Does it read that? So why do you do that? Mike, ouch. No, I never saw that before. Never looked at it like that before. Never looked at how we respond. Never looked at the thought of just the Lord again saying, I'm not in trouble, they are. And when you're dealing with people, whether it's in your life or in the church or whatever, and they're in trouble and you're not, why do you get in trouble with them? Why do you lose your mind with them? Now, they're out of their mind in the middle of that sea, fighting that wind, fighting the waves. They're being tossed with the waves. What's that saying? That a great wind came down upon the sea. That means the waves are huge and the big, and it's beating that boat up, and it's keeping them from going where they want to go. Jesus is not in trouble. And it may not be that person of prayer that's in trouble, but there's a ship out there that's in trouble. You got it? It's an understandable point. Jesus came to the house of Jairus, and along the way, of course, they find out she's dead. But Jesus stops the guy and says, believe. Just believe. If you can believe. If you can believe. Don't stop believing because of what you heard. Listen to what he's saying. This is what happens when it comes from a person who, I know it's, you say, well, it was Jesus. No, look, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Spirit of Christ in us. There's something that we become when we give ourselves, when we pray without ceasing to pray. The Holy Ghost will do things in us. We become something that mimics our God and mimics the life of Christ. And the same thing that we can see in scriptures, we find in our behavior, because prayer will affect our behavior. It will affect our perception of what we see, especially when what we see isn't good. Again, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, the Lord sees not as man sees. And you and I will learn to see as the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man sees through their emotion, through what's going on, the impossibility of the storm, the wind, the waves, you get it. But prayer, notice the attitude. Notice the attitude. Notice how prayer personifies itself. So Jesus comes in, and they're all wailing and weeping for said reasons. She's dead. But Jesus kind of walks in and says, the damsel's not dead. She's just sleeping. Again, prayer sees things differently. And they laugh him to scorn. And what does he do? Prayer puts them all out. Doesn't succumb to all the hoopla. It just takes charge. Puts it out. And you know the story. He raises her up. Again, in Acts chapter 9, Tabitha is dead. And they're all weeping. And Peter comes in. They sent for him at Joppa. And he comes in to pray for her. And what's he do? He puts them all out. Praise God. Why? Because he's a man of God and a man of prayer. And he kneels down and the scripture says he prays. He prays. So let's go back to the scripture. I'm saying all that because I'm trying to set a tone here. And just when you walk through the scriptures, there's just things about how we deal with stuff that is so wrong. But when we give ourselves to prayer, we find the answers in prayer, even if the answers aren't for us. You're not always in trouble. When we pray and call on God and live for God, we don't always pray because we need stuff, want stuff, troubled stuff. We pray because we just want to love Jesus, worship God as part of our walk and our consecration. And hey, Lord, I'm here just to bless your name, tell you how awesome you are. I know you know it, but you're going to hear it from me today. Hallelujah. I'm here to thank you for saving me from not destroying myself on that ladder today. God, I just want to give you glory. Praise the Lord for being so good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Sister Tabitha awakes out of her death as well. And Peter goes on his way. Prayer isn't afraid to interrupt the impossible. Again, it was read tonight. Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. On the way to prayer, miracles happen. From prayer, miracles happen. Unexplainable, undeniable, beyond comprehension, peace that passes understanding, stuff that comes from love, power, and of a sound mind. Prayer will keep your mind sound when everyone else's mind is not sound, when everyone's gone crazy, when everyone is just succumbing to fear and anxiety and everything's falling all to pieces. Prayer keeps you in a position of bringing an answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I hope you get this, and I hope you just get this point strongly because it's just there in the scripture, and I'll say this before I continue, is that he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. He was not in that boat with them at that moment. He was not being tossed with waves. The wind was not contrary to him, it was to them. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we try to deal with situations, whether it's in our own home, whether it's in the assembly, whether it's at work or school or wherever, or in the lives of other people, the list can go on. It makes no difference. But sometimes we go about it in the wrong way. God's not asking us to get emotionally involved. He's asking us to get prayerfully involved. Praise the Lord. Somebody, the only people that are going to see what needs to be seen are the prayerful people. Praise the Lord. He saw them toiling. So what do you think was happening? There was an answer coming. The scripture says that when it was evening, they had gone out. But in the fourth watch of the night, that is beyond the evening. That is in the wee hours of the morning. That's your 3 to 6 a.m. watch. They've been struggling for a long, long time. See, prayer doesn't always just jump in. Prayer doesn't always just instantly react. Prayer doesn't get overly emotional. Prayer's not worried about showing up 5 minutes late. Hallelujah. So when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. How do I say this? Don't try to unprayerfully fix the life of another person. They might live in the same household, and you might be on a mountain and they're in a boat. Life might be contrary to them. They might be going through a storm, and it's prevalent, it's important, it's needful. If you're a child of God, even if you're both children of God, it makes no difference, because it could flip-flop. And you could be in the boat and they could be on the mountain. They could be apart to pray. The answer is prayer. Because 9 times out of 10, what needs to happen will happen as a result of prayer. It won't if you don't go to prayer and live in prayer and be prayerful and yield yourself to God instead of trying to emotionally get involved with trying to figure out how to end their storm. Because you can't end a gale force wind. You can't control Mother Nature. You can't control, look, God could have brought the storm for all you know. Are you greater than God? God could have brought the storm so he could talk to you in prayer and give you the answer that will end the storm. So I hope you just capture that in verse 23 and 24, how closely knit together they are, and the fact that they are a single thought together. He was there, they were here. But it's important. They belong to him. They're concerned. But somewhere in the space of time from him coming from the mountain and all the scripture playing together, that he saw them toiling and rowing. Now it's the middle of the night. It's dark out there. They're 3.5 miles out. They're halfway to their destination. So you know it's beyond physical ability to see across the ocean water. I don't care if the moonlight was out or not. There's a storm out there. The water's moving. No, he's seeing them. And somewhere the answer came. And again, I expressed to you that he wasn't frantically trying to find a rowboat. He wasn't trying to wake up some fisherman in the middle of the night saying, help! An answer came, and it's usually a miraculous answer. And let me say it like this. When you need an answer that's miraculous, you need to pray, because you can't manufacture your own miracle. When something's beyond your control, and storms usually are, and that's the point of this. There are things that happen in people's lives that are beyond your ability to do anything about it. But it's not beyond God's. But God might use you. You might be involved. But the key is, make sure you are apart to pray. Hallelujah. Would you love him? I'm almost through. Hallelujah. 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 There's a reason why sometimes time just passes. Let's read. And in the fourth watch of the night, their answer came, walking on the sea. Thank you, Jesus. Walking on the contrariness. Remember what the scripture says, that all things are put under his feet. There are things that are beyond us, but they're not beyond him. It's not a coincidence that the sea is under his feet. Now, life can throw at you a lot of stuff, and it can be greater than you, but it'll never be greater than him. And he's the only one that can walk through the midst of it. So he goes unto them walking on the sea. Now, yes, it took some time to get out 3.5 miles to where they are. But the scripture says that he decided to answer. He decided to solve the problem by walking on the sea. Remember, the one walking on the sea is not the one in trouble. He did not succumb to the contrariness. Don't you succumb to it. Don't you be captured by it. Again, you remember the story Pastor told of when Sister Brenda was sick with polio as a young child, and how T. Richard Reed had come by because he was close by, and the Lord spoke to him and said, go by the Rutledges. And when he came in, how he had, when Pastor came to the door and he hadn't shaved in 3 days, and he was just an emotional mess over his girl. What happened was, his Brother Richard Reed walked into a storm. There was a brother in a ship, and life had become contrary, and he had pushed Brother Rutledge back. You remember the story? Prayer will always do things that don't make sense. They're above and beyond, and they look at the miracle. The miracle is never overcome or controlled by the emotion of the moment, the impossibility of the moment, the severity of the moment. It's like there's a sense of in-chargeness that comes from prayer. And he had been praying and just yielded to God. And so for Brother Rutledge and the family that day, he was like Jesus walking on the water. Praise the Lord. Walking in the midst of impossible things, walking on top of impossible things. Things that were otherwise stopping the show. You know the story, how they had gone and found some people and prayed, and how the Lord had stepped into that room and raised that little girl up. Praise the Lord. Something miraculous, something powerful, something wonderful, something beyond human comprehension. And it comes from prayer. It comes from prayer. I'm going to say it again. Pray without ceasing to pray. Prayer. In prayer, we learn to yield our thinking to God's thinking. We learn to believe God in spite of what we see. Hallelujah. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Jesus wasn't, but they were. He's not afraid to appear as a miracle. He's not afraid of not being a part of the emotional fireworks. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot of things that you're going to face, people we're going to work with. And this is why let's stay a nucleus of prayer. And let's come early for prayer. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's lift up our voices. Let's cry out to God. And let's believe God. And when we find that we've got people in our lives or people we don't know who are in trouble, they're a ship in the midst of the sea, tossed to and fro by everything in life, we have compassion, we're concerned, But there's a plateau that we don't leave. And sometimes to some people it sounds impersonal. It doesn't sound like, you know, there's a lot of emotion and there's not that response that they think some should have. I mean, Jairus might have thought, what's he doing stopping? He needs to keep on moving. There's a problem. My little girl's at home. You gotta realize the reality of this history. It's not a story. It's a history lesson of something that took place. And you got to think about, if that was you, you'd be like, great, I'm glad she's healed. Let's go. And yet in John chapter 11, when the emotional report comes from Martha and Mary that says, our brother, the one you love, is sick and you need to come right now. There's a storm in our house. You need to show up like right now. And Jesus waits. And Lazarus dies. And by the time he gets there, he'd been dead for 4 days. And I see that again here. In the fourth watch of the night, he goes to them. Man. Right? It wouldn't seem fair. You think the first time he saw him, he'd be out there. He just doesn't. You don't crack a whip and get Jesus coming. And he's not as worried about it as you are. He's not as worked up about it as you are either. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us, doesn't mean he doesn't care, but it's important to know that whenever he shows up, it's right on time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And sometimes it's just important that when the disciples saw him, verse 26, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. Sometimes we just need to get the fight out of us. They were toiling in their rowing. Sometimes we just got to get a clue. Sometimes people just have to get a clue, Brother Mike, that they got to stop fighting and just let him in the boat. And you can't beat that into anybody. You can't make anybody see that. If you're not in trouble, don't get in trouble, because they're in trouble. Jesus knows how to rescue them. Praise the Lord. Do you understand the message here tonight? It's real simple. I'm not going to prolong it. Feel your mind going. Praise the Lord. Let's just love him a little bit here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God. In prayer, we learn we can't fix everybody. We can't fix everything. We're not God. But in prayer, we yield ourselves to the one who can fix everybody and fix anything and solve any problem and calm any storm. Amen. And that's the Lord. Yeah. And so they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Hallelujah. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm here to get you to stop rowing. What else is there to do? Stop rowing. Stop trying to do it yourself. How many times do preachers have to say this to people, but they cannot hear? But Jesus knows how to cause them to hear. And there are times when that word fitly spoken, that's like apples of gold and pictures of silver, shows up. A circumstance shows up. The Lord does something and shows up. And I think that's part of the miracle. It's part of you can't lecture people into getting out of their trouble. But God knows how to become a miracle in the midst of what they're going through to get their attention. There's nothing like somebody walking on the water to get me to stop rowing. Praise the Lord. I don't have any time to row now. Now somebody's walking on the water, and people don't walk on water. And it's in the middle of the night. He knows how to spook you to stop you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Can you give me like one more minute? In the fourth watch of the night. In other words, it was his time. You ever have anybody that say, you need to come pray. You need to pray for them. You need to pray for them right now. It's kind of like the prodigal child. I'm talking more about prodigal children type of stuff. Not, hey, can you come over to the hospital and pray? Not necessarily something like that. But you ever have people say, oh, pray for my loved one. They're not coming to church. And then when they don't seemingly get prayed for, they get upset. Like the world has to stop because their loved one's gone on a boat ride. No, we ain't going to. No, they're on a boat ride. The Lord will take care of them. Hallelujah. They're in the hands of the living God. Good luck. Happy sailing. Thank you, Jesus. And, but you know what? Prayer and a life of prayer is going to make you look like an idiot sometimes because it'll make you look like you don't care, but you really do. But your care is a higher care. It's not a sympathetic care that isn't needed because it's not going to help them anyhow. They're out there and you're here, but you're here where you should be, and that's a place of prayer. Hallelujah, place of prayer. Stay in a place of prayer. Amen. You're the one supposed to be of sound mind and of love and with power. Amen. When they are not. So they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus talked to them and said, be of good cheer, it's me. See, he knows how to go after people. He knows how to rescue. He knows how to be the miracle that you could never be. He knows, in other words, what I'm saying is in the fourth watch of the night, because he chose when to come. And he chose how to come. And he chose how to answer the prayer request. He saw the need himself. God sees all the needs. If we won't get in the way, if we won't try to pull our rowboat out onto the water and grab oars and a walkie-talkie and try to bring supplies and food and figure out, oh, God, how are we going to help? How are we going to get? Because we're kind of missing it, right? But if we spend time in prayer, then we'll see. We'll see the answer come. And sometimes the answer is to do absolutely nothing. So in concluding, thank you for listening. Pray without ceasing. There's a reason for it. Because miracles come out of prayer. Answers come out of prayer. And they're not always for you. You don't always need one. They are wholly not a physician. But they are sick. You're not always in need. So quit acting like you are. And stop trying to solve all the problems of the world. Sometimes you just got to let the boat be in the middle of the water out of your control. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's a good chance that you'll stay in the mountain while Jesus goes a-walking. And that's kind of a lesson here. You might see what he sees, but you may not be the one that goes. But he just might keep you from going. But he said, it's I, be not afraid, be of good cheer. And we know the story of Peter. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. And the other account of this, I believe it's Mark's account, Mark 9, or Mark 4, I believe it is, testifies that immediately they were on the other side. Once he stepped into the boat, they're immediately where they're supposed to go. That's the power of prayer. That's the difference between trying to figure everything out and living a life that's apart to pray. So we're going to pray for Jordan. He's in his 20s, needs kidney transplant, and dialysis is not working. We know a Savior that works. Yes. And lame, a man that can't walk or can't see has no less or more trouble than new kidneys. Lord, we pray for Jordan right now. God, would you give him new kidneys? Praise God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Would you walk on the water to Jordan tonight? Praise God. Step inside his boat. And God, do what only you can do. Bring that answer according to your good pleasure. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, create a testimony that God gives you the glory that's due to your holy name. Let all that know him and all that are around him give glory and praise unto the Lord as you raise him up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I hope I was clear enough for that tonight. It's a lesson all about trust, too, especially when you talk about it concerning people and people who are close to you or people that you live with or situations in your home or maybe in a workplace. It could be a lot of things, but it can be really close. And you don't know how to fix, but Jesus does. Praise God. And that's the thing that he reminds us about, and I think that's part of what this lesson's about. It's a reminder from the Lord that says, just pray. Just pray. Just like this, I can do this. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I want to thank everybody that's been with us online. We greet you in Jesus' name, and we'll keep all of you in prayer. We appreciate the faithfulness of those who have been joining us in pretty much every service. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this time together. Hope that something was said that God made sense, could help somebody's thinking change. To bless those who are with us online tonight, bless, Lord, Sister Nancy and Sister Nelda and Sister Felicia and Sister Becca, Lord, and Sister Tanya and the others that may have come and gone, Lord, or some that are still there, but we don't know who they are. Would you bless them as well? Bring us all again, Lord, over the weekend for a time of worship and praise and trust and miracles. Praise God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. The reason why Jesus could stand up in the middle of the boat and say, peace be still, is because he had peace in him. And prayer will cause you to be a person of peace. God bless you.